Come, fill this temple to be like you are, to be where you are. Oh God, come, fill this temple. Meet us in the places of our heart's longings. Bless us, oh God, as we bring all of who we are. We know, God, we're not who we have been. And we're not who we've yet to become, but we are here right now. And we bring you the meditations on our hearts. And we lift up to you, O God, this vessel to transform, to create afresh and anew. Meet us right here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue this Lenten series on the topic of impatient journey. Now, does everybody in the room have the gift of patience? Can you really get in touch with those moments of impatience? Like when you turn on your computer and you have to wait 3 seconds for it to come up, forgetting that hum of dial-up we used to have 12, 15 years ago, when we could go and do something else while our computer was connecting to the internet. Can I get a witness? Now, there are folks in the room who have no idea what we are talking about. Probably if you're 35 or under, you might not know what it means when we say dial up. But do you remember that little song it used to play? We get really impatient. There's an old saying that says, watching hot water boil never boils. A watched pot never boils. That seems to be kind of an inherent thread in human nature. I mean, how annoyed are we in traffic when somebody wants in our lane? We have all kinds of expressed reflections about their rudeness to get in front of us. We're on a journey, right? Well, I have some good news for you. That didn't just start happening because we have traffic. This impatience has been a part of our human nature since Adam and Eve were told, don't eat. That's all you need to say to a child. Whether it's a child that's a minor or an adult child that's 80. Don't. Right? And then what do you want to do? Whatever it is you were told not to do, right? The children of Israel were held captive in atrocious conditions, horrible slavery. They longed to be freed. They longed to have a new sense of community. Excuse me. To have freedom open up for them. Can you bring me my water, please? They longed to have the opportunity to break out of somebody else's control in their lives. Have you ever been in that place? Have you ever been in that place? Imagine what it is for people in Latin America to find out what you already know. Imagine. Remember those moments when you wondered Does God love me? Anybody walk through the doors terrified? Anybody? Anybody? Come on. How long did it take you in the parking lot to get out of your car? Right? How long did it take you sitting in your seat to come to communion? How long did it take to work past all the voices in your head that denied you to this place? Hello? Anybody? Excuse me. So here's this community of people, 2 million or so, who get freed, who get past the obstacles of being chased and the seas parting, who get past the obstacle of being hungry and manna comes and waits for them in the early morning to be collected, who get to this place of impatience. They spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Sorry. Excuse me. There is no bread. There is no water. Oh, and here's the great part. And we detest this miserable food. Can I get a witness? Come on. And we think this is about the children of Israel. No. This is about us. How many times do we come to a place where we long to know God's love is available to us? We get it, and then we sit here and say, well, the church of my childhood didn't do worship like this. The church of my childhood didn't consecrate communion like this. The church of my childhood would never have secular music in worship. They wouldn't even have praise music in worship. In fact, when I was a child, praise music wasn't even invented. Hello. We want to take the experiences that held us captive and try and bring them into our freedom. Even want to go back to those places that held us captive. Why? Because somehow in there, the memory of not having gets lost in the longing for familiarity. Hello? Am I like just preaching to myself? Is this just something I need to hear? Like, do I need to remember that we had nothing at some point and we have something we now take for granted? Or is that something we need to share listening to from time to time? Because I think we forget on our journey. We get so caught up in the stuff, in the moment, in the, well, that's just not feeding me anymore. Hello. This is deep stuff, folks. This is the stuff that we grumble about, that tears apart our souls and our relationships and keeps us from living into all we are called to be and do, that keeps us from living into our mission. The Christian church around the world is dying. Why? I believe the fundamental reason is we're not doing our own work. We're not doing our own spiritual growth, our own spiritual development. We're not even taking time out as our day starts to remember the gifts of life and love we have. We've broken out of that pattern as a people. Now, I know that for some people, Islam is a little scary. But there is a practice in Islam that could really benefit us as a spiritual people. They pray 5 to 7 times a day. How many times do you stop your day and intentionally go someplace and pray? That's not a practice for most of us. It's not even a practice for me, full confession. I'm preaching to all of us, not just you. Because if we are developing our spiritual lives, we all need to locate ourselves in the struggles. We all need to take a step back and listen to the voices that we speak and listen to the grumbling that exists in our circles of community. I think what's powerful about this ancient story of people leaving bondage into freedom, is that we really want to know where we're going to end up, right? It's so much easier to go on a trip when you know where your destination is, right? Do you ever like say, you know what, I think I'm just going to go out today and get lost and see if I can find my way back? That'll be a lot of fun. No, we go someplace, an appointed destination, get lost, and won't ask for directions. Hello. The children of Israel are really upset because they do not know how to make home in their hearts, wherever they are. Do you know that when you step into exile, it does not matter what kind of exile? And I believe that MCC as a whole is a church community of people in exile. Many of us have come from other church traditions, left something we loved for either fear they would tell us to leave or because they told us to leave. And we come to this collective place to find God and miss what we had in our church tradition. Can I get a witness? Don't you just miss those good old hymns of the church? Well, there are some people who do. One of the things that I find interesting is how Moses continues in his own struggle to reground his disorientation. Because he doesn't know where he's going either. There's nothing worse than following a leader who doesn't know where they're going. Except that it isn't where we've been. Right? Sue Monk Kidd is one of my favorite authors. She writes about stories about a spiritual life that helps our souls connect with our experiences. And I want to share with you a beautiful little section of the book, When the Heart Waits. Spiritual direction for life's sacred questions. Have you ever had sacred questions on your journey? Have you ever had things you just really want to know? She writes, overhead, a thickening of clouds withered everything into grayness. It was February, when the earth of South Carolina seemed mired in the dredges of winter. I had been walking for miles. I don't know how many. I could feel neither my toes inside my shoes nor the wind on my face. I could feel nothing at all but an intense aching in my soul. Have you ever been on a journey where you felt an intense aching in your soul? For some months, I had been lost in a baffling crisis of spirit. Back in the autumn, I had awakened to a growing emptiness and a cacophony, as if something in my depths were crying out. A whole chorus of voices, orphaned voices. They seemed to speak to all the unlived parts in me. They came with a force and a dazzle that I could not contain. Have you ever been in that place? I know that they were the clamor of a new self struggling to be born. I was standing on the shifting grounds of uncertainty, having come upon a time in life where one is summoned to an inner transformation, to a crossing from one identity to another. When the change winds swirl throughout our lives, especially at the entrance of adolescence, adulthood, midlife, senior years, and yes, even at the edge of death, they oftentimes call us to undertake a new passage of our spiritual journey. Have you ever been in that place that has called you to a new passage of your spiritual journey? That of confronting your lost self, your one true self. They call us to come home to ourselves, to become who we really are. The winter of my discontent, I had no real idea that this was happening. I kept walking through the fogged afternoon light as if the mere ritual of putting one foot in front of the other would lead me out of my pain, continuing to move forward. I buried my hands in my pockets of my coat and watched the wind blow a paper cup along the gutter. The familiar circles of my life left me with a suffocating feeling. My work was nothing more than going through the motions. My relationships suddenly seemed stale, unfulfilling. My religious structures stifling. Things that used to matter no longer did. Things that had never mounted were paramount. My life had curled up in the mark of a question. Have you ever found yourself in that place where you question, why am I even here? Who is the real me? I burrowed into the wind, my head down. I happened to look up again as I passed beneath the branches of the dogwood tree, and my eyes fell upon a curious appendage suspending from a twig just over my head. I kept walking. No, stop, look. Has there ever been something on your spiritual journey that has caught the side of your eye? And you keep walking, and something inside of you says, no, stop, go back, look, look, what is it? I stopped. I looked closer, not knowing what else to do but obey my inner impulse. I backed up and looked again. I took one more step toward it, then two, until I was so close that the fog of my breath encircled it. I had come upon a cocoon. I was caught suddenly by a sweep of reverence, by a sensation that made me want to sink to my knees. For somehow, I knew that I had stumbled upon an epiphany. Have you ever been in that place? A place that says, oh, this is it. This is missing piece in my life, a strange gracing of my inner self. I took my forefinger and touched the bottom tip of this tiny brown chrysalis and felt something move in me. In that moment, God seemed to speak to me about transformation, about the descent and emergence of my soul awakening. I broke the twig from the limb and carried the chrysalis home. Can you imagine how delicate that journey became when you're holding something sacred that is about to break forth in your soul? For this was my cocoon, my closet, my soul incubating within. Back home, I carefully taped the twig with the cocoon on the branch to a crabapple tree in my backyard. Then I went inside and stood at the window watching the cocoon, which hung in the winter air like an upside-down question mark. That was the moment I understood, really understood, crisis, change. All the myriad upheavals that blister the spirit and leaves us groping, they aren't voices simply of pain. They are voices of creativity, ready to burst forth. As if we would only listen, we might hear such times beckoning us to a season of waiting, to the place of fertile emptiness, a place where something's happening, even if nothing seems to be present. Nothing seems to be going on. Have you ever been in a car with four-year-olds going somewhere? Are we there yet? 3 seconds later, are we there yet? And if you're in a car with triplets who are four, they take turns echoing off each other for the not unlike us. My friends, we're not there yet. We're never going to be there. We are right here, right now, with new life ready to spring forth. I know this sounds like an Easter message to you. Guess what? Every Sunday is Easter. Every Sunday, we get to celebrate new life. Every Sunday, we get to get our cups filled so we can go out and break forth and share the good news we know. Us. Yes, it's true. We can get caught up acknowledging, grumbling, and even making a bunch of noise about what isn't happening in our church. We're gifted at that. Can I get a witness? And that can become our companion. That can become our stimulus. That can become the seed of our change. When we don't just say we don't have, we say, how can we get? Because there's a world out there dying to know what you have. There's a world out there dying to know the good news that lives inside of you. If you're in a place of crisis, if you're in one of those shifting places of identity in your life. Know it's just a part of the journey. And there's plenty of people here who can surround you and support you through that. Something is breaking forth in that crisis to take you to wholeness. Stay on the journey, my friends. Don't get caught up in the stuff. Continue to make the difference you are called to make. God, we give you thanks and praise for all of the ways in which you journey with us. Hold us, inspire us, move through us, nurture us, bless us, and empower us with the good news of your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Draw me in to your presence.